It is Friday, the 20th of September, and this is episode 182 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode. I'm Chris, joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Christopher.
You all right?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, good. We were just discussing our motivating factors and tire barriers are mine.
And I kind of confess that Braveheart might be mine, but it's not.
Lie.
No, I just think about liars at work. That was my motivation for stuff. I'm absolutely shattered. I've had really bad sleeps this week. But somebody was lying to me blatantly yesterday and I caught him. I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Get it up, yeah.
Funnily enough.
Right, let's get on with some news then. So Twitter, they're making their IPO. So basically they're gonna float.
Pretty much. Would you buy shares on Twitter?
No.
Well, there you go then.
So basically they've gone through the process basically of submitting some accounts or something along those lines. They've done it confidentially. Apparently they can do this because their revenue is below $1 billion.
Yep.
Yet they are going to be, well, they're hoping that their company's valued at something like $14 billion.
And I guess it's on the back of, I mean, Facebook was about 18 months ago? And the first 6-8 months of Facebook stock, everybody was just like, you know, ha, 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 ha. Because they kind of came on at 30, I think I remember it was like, was it $30? And then they kept on throwing money at it to try and keep it up there. And then eventually it was like, let's drop. But it's actually now up at $40.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, and shares do tend to do that, don't they? They tend to sort of drop a little bit and then ping.
And drop, the market, and the ping. Market in general has been quite positive, you know, over the last year. And I think also that they're starting to make money, you know, so they are making serious money now off the back of mobile.
But they say for them to value themselves at $14 billion, which is kind of, you know, they've had investors tell them what they would buy a share for, and they've had you know, internal people saying, well, we'd quite like to buy some shares at this money, and that by that they've kind of deduced that they're worth $14 billion. Obviously, that doesn't mean that they are.
No.
But yeah, I mean, but if their revenue's below $1 billion, and it may be substantially below that, then I don't know why they think they're worth that much, and how they're going to become, you know, make that worth you know, a reality for the investors.
No, and it's one of these things, because there's always that debate about Apple and Amazon. You know, Amazon makes no money at all, but the shares are really, you know, fantastic, whereas Apple's have obviously dropped and they're making, you know, billions. Mm. But it's all, I think a lot of it's, you know, about potential. You know, is it the in thing right now, you know? And there is a bit of a tech bubble kind of happening again. A lot of the tech companies are getting lots of press without much product.
Yeah, too right. Something else nearly costing $14 billion is an NHS IT system.
This probably is because it's 14. This is £10 billion.
Yeah, £10 billion. Actually, is much more than that. So this is the NHS record system. They were hoping to have a unified record system across everywhere, which seems like a very sensible thing. Yet it's stalled and bumped and crashed, and it's never even seen the light, and it's cost $10 billion already. I mean, what the hell do you spend $10 billion on?
I know. And the bit that is just laughable is that I think when they kind of froze it, yeah, the original plan was abandoned. The total bill was expected to be $6.4 billion. So between abandoning it and then where it currently is, they've actually spent another $3.6 billion.
Cost them $3.6 billion to abandon. I mean, a lot of this is contractual wranglings, people disagreeing with what they said that it could do and couldn't do, and how it was going to interact with each other, and it's just another, you know, proof positive that there's obviously some people bidding for work and winning work, which they are not entitled to. And say you can get an awful lot done in this world for $10 billion if it's in the right hands.
Yes, I mean, and obviously waste a whole load of time if it's in the wrong.
You know, hidden away there, I bet a lot of IT companies with a lot of directors who happen to be, you know, some to do with government in some respect, we have made a lot of money out of that.
Yes. And it kind of...
Cynical.
Part of me feels it's a bit of a no-brainer. You know, it's like that you should have, you know, it would be good for me. And I know there's a whole lot of security issues, but why can't I log in somewhere and see my, you know, my, my entire health records?
I mean, there's other records online that you can do that with that are probably equally as, you know, confidential. I mean, maybe not equally as confidential, but nevertheless, it is not beyond the realms of what is possible nowadays to have a system where you can have even if it's secure enough that doctors can just log in and have a look. I mean, it seems like the thing you should be doing in this day and age.
And I wonder if they just tried to bite off more than they could chew. You know, instead of trying to amalgamate all this, you know, with the better, you know, standing up the here's what it should be and doing it for regions.
Well, with 10 billion, I'd hope they'd put everything in there.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, did it just swallow up because they tried to be too ambitious? So just started off and said, right, regions X, Y, and Z, you're going to be the future of how we do healthcare, you know, and digital records. And then over the next 20 years, we'll migrate everybody up to the same platform. But at least we've got everybody in the same place. Take it nice and easy. And I know it would have probably spent, you know, a bit more, but I think they would have done something then.
Or even if the scope, you know, even if it was just a narrower scope that started centrally and then extended out. So rather than, you know, having everything for a couple of regions and then extending, why not have a narrower scope and then extend from there? It is a bit shocking, really.
It's scandalous as well that it's in the region of health as well. You know, if you think of what 10 billion could have done to the, you know, to the NHS.
They could have done with that right now.
And they've basically spent on nothing.
Yes, they've got nothing to show for it. I'm sure something will come out of it. They're still talking about it being in a few regions will still be covered by some sort of IT system, but who knows what and who knows where and who knows when.
I've heard they're going to get some BBCs out of the library and set up a network of BBC micros. That's going to be our future NHS.
But that's probably what they procured at the time. That's probably why it cost 10 billion. They had to start up a production line again. Oh dear. Right. Yeah. Mobile phone emergency alert system. So this is an ability that basically mobile phone companies can send out alerts to mobile phones, and they're going to use them in situations, things like flooding or I guess terrorist alerts and stuff like that, or all sorts of things could be used. And they're going to run them out in pilot areas.
Yes, and we've seen this. We've seen it in America. I don't know if you noticed, like people will retweet, you know, like earthquake alerts, you know, and they'll retweet like screenshots of the phone saying, "Oh, I've got an alert." Because I think it's relatively new for, you know, in America as well. I think there's only certain regions are getting switched on. And there was one. I think it was the region with all the flooding that's taking place at the moment. And they were saying that they were sending out texts every hour. You know, and it's like, well,
right, okay.
We're in a flood, we know.
it's getting wetter.
Yeah.
Now, there's two ways they can do it. They can send it out by plain text, or they can. There is a system on board where they can send out down an official channel, down, you know, to have an emergency alert on the phone. And apparently, there's phones can deal with both of these things. Obviously, it'd be cheaper for them to do it as a normal text, but they're then saying that there's worries that everyone would just fake text, and of course they would.
Yes. And I guess we'll just need to see. I mean, of course, it was a data security firm Sophos that were pointing this out. Now, I've now got a massive pinch of salt every time one of these guys comes out. It's like every time you see there's like, the iOS is very vulnerable. And, you know, Android is very vulnerable. But you can
no
buy
vested
our
interest
software.
No vested interest there. Yeah. So this is going out into certain areas as trials. So pilots in North Yorkshire, Leicester, Suffolk, Glasgow. So Glasgow again, woo! They can't build an IT system, but Glasgow is going to be off the map.
Hey, the future city stuff's actually taken off.
There you go.
They've actually, you know, the good website up and running. They're starting to share out data. They actually are talking about it being data driven rather than app driven. Although they are still doing the crazy. Let's go and compete with Google.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so they're going to roll that out and they're going to ask feedback. So if you get a text message over the next X number of months, then yeah, they're going to ask you for your feedback on that. iPhone shortages, shock horror. Networks have been moaning about it this time. So they're saying that people have been disappointed when they arrived because basically they've got no 5S's left, but they've got shed loads of 5C's and no one wants. And their networks are worried that they're deliberately drip feeding the 5S to try and get people to have to buy the 5C.
Yes. And in some ways, I think Apple's been, it's almost like, I'm not saying it's a downfall, but everybody I talk to talks about the cheap iPhone. The whole idea was not. Everybody at work. The cheap iPhones there, isn't it? Is it? It's not that cheap.
When it's a five, you know, it's basically an iPhone 5.
And that's what I was telling people.
That's what it is.
You know, I was saying to one guy in particular there, I said, because he was looking to buy, you know, my phone. And I says, but the new ones, and I says, they are the exact same as this, slightly better battery life. He says, yeah, but they're plastic. I says, the reviews I'm seeing are saying it doesn't feel very plasticky. It feels actually really a really solid device. It's not like the kind of creaky plastic of, you know, the type where you can replace the battery. It's actually a solid bit of steel almost with a kind of vinyl type coating. So it actually feels very different. And I just don't think they've got it over. I think the press have kind of won this one, and Apple
it was always going to happen anyway.
Yeah, they've just really not put the message out. And, I mean, definitely stock-wise, it's a lot less than I've had in previous years.
The thing is, though, you get people like you who want the 5S because that's the one that's current and latest, and that's going to be the people that queue up. They want the latest and the best. They're not, I mean, ongoing, I think the 5C will sell well because... You know, why wouldn't it? Ongoing. But I think the first tranche of people are going to want the latest spec. And whether they've deliberately done this or not, Apple have said that this is because it's just highly in demand.
You just need to wait and see. Again, pinch of salt with all these kind of things because they love their queues.
Of course, Shaq was in one. Did he get one?
So, bit of a story. So I've been kind of like humming and hawing all week. And basically, I think, you know, by Wednesday, I was like, sod it, I'm getting one. And I was kind of convinced about the amount of times I unlock my phone, because I do keep a passcode on it. And I know a lot of people won't keep it on because they unlock it all the time. But I don't trust, you know, my phone not having a passcode on. So anyway, last night, midnight, or this morning at midnight, it became available for order in the UK. In fact, I just used my iPhone. Went on, 32, went for white. So I've got a nice silver and white one coming. And the only disappointing thing was it said dispatch 7 to 10 days, expected delivery 7th to 10th October. And you're like, oh, that's 3 weeks. That's slightly disappointing, especially as you were on, you know, I was on straight away. And it's interesting because on the BBC report, they said less than an hour after going on sale, it was listed as being unavailable 7 to 10 working days. It was like, no, that was immediate.
Almost immediate, yeah.
No, it wasn't almost, it was immediate.
Okay.
It was like, that was when we'll ship this to you. I just thought Shaq would have had the kind of do not disturb stuff. So I just sent him an iMessage saying, right, just ordered this, blah, 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 blah. What are you doing? And a couple of minutes later, he was like, I've done the same. Oh, that delivery date's rubbish. And that was it, really. And I didn't think anything more of it until I got up this morning and saw the Twitter stream from Shaq, which was basically about sort of 2 o'clock.
Went down to queue up at 2 in the morning.
So at 2 o'clock, he kind of decided, because he couldn't get back to sleep because I had woken him up by texting him. So it's my fault.
Not looking for an excuse there.
No. And he's like, sorry, I'm going to go down to the queue. So I think about 3:30, he got to the Apple store in Buchanan Street. So Buchanan Street's the kind of main Apple store in Glasgow. And there was already maybe about 40, 50 people there.
And he was prepared to wait there for 5 hours.
Yeah. and I think there's a couple of things. I'm not being racist when I say this, but the queue was predominantly made up of probably poorly paid immigrants is probably the best I can say. And what Shaq found was that after a few hours, a guy then came round and said, you get two, you get two, you get two, and handed them all money.
Right.
So it was very much like, and I guess what we've always kind of traditionally seen is it happens in China. And it was like, it definitely happened yesterday. I mean, Shaq, he was really disappointed with the whole experience. And previously I've said to you, it's tiring and stuff, but you're like, you a bit of energy, you get a nice gadget. It's all kind of Apple geeks and there's a little bit of banter and all
but
that kind of stuff.
But it wasn't this time.
Not at all. Very not pleasant at all, and also there was a few people kind of standing there, and then all of a sudden their 5 mates would turn up, and nobody's policing that.
And I was gonna say, there's no one to control that at that time in the morning because
the only way to do it is for somebody to man up and do it themselves and actually say, no, get to the back, you know, and actually, you know, do it a bit of people power.
It looked like a very loose queue when I saw the pictures anyway.
Yeah, and I guess what was most galling was that the Apple staff started coming round and handing out tickets, and what Shaq was disappointed at, and it was around about 7:15 because he was phoning me at work by this point because he was going to try and get me one. And what he was most disappointed was, some people were getting four. They were allowing up to four. So purchases per person. And so Shaq only being 30 or 40th, it got to him, and all the 16 and 32 gigs are gone. So stock-wise, that is a lot less than previous years. Because previous years, there's been 300-400 people out there, and there's been plenty
stock. Everyone's got them.
So there's definitely an issue with the stock on the 5S. But to cut this turned into a bit of a story. He actually bought a 64 gig. So even though he ordered a 32, he just felt, I've been here for like 6 hours. I can't walk away empty-handed.
So he's spent £800 on a phone.
£710. It's currently on eBay and is at £900.
So he's eBaying it?
Yeah.
Why? Just...
He got back to work and somebody sent him a link. One of them sold for £2,000 this morning.
What?
So he was just like, well, sod that. So he's kept it sealed, he's put it on eBay, and he's hoping to get over £1,000 for it.
Well, if it only gets £800, he's going to be peeved that he's got to go do it again.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wow, okay.
So, yeah.
£2,000. It's not worth it.
There was a story that one of the guys that were third in the queue at Regent Street was a student, and somebody's paid him £7,000 to stand there since Wednesday.
Gee whiz. For the 5S, it's, you know, and it's going to feel like everything else. You could have the old 5 and it would feel exactly the same.
And I feel a bit, you know, so yeah, I've plumped for the phone and I'm kind of like, it's 3 weeks away, it's no big deal.
No. And yeah, three, because it's, yeah, it's not such the, say iOS 7 was a bigger step. Yeah, and apparently you can, cat's paws can unlock the iPhone as well.
Meow.
Apparently. And your elbows can be, you can train your elbow to unlock your phone as well.
So basically dinosaurs are okay.
There you go. If you so wish, you can
Have you put iOS 7 on your device, your iPad?
Yes.
What did you think?
I do the same things with it. It makes so little difference to my day.
No, what I was impressed with, the amount of developers that have actually delivered brand new apps, not just a slight reskinning, but they've actually put a lot of effort in and lots of new features. I mean, there was a number of notable updates this week that were like, that is fantastic.
Facebook takes about 10 minutes to load currently.
Yeah, but Evernote has such a step up. It was like, geez, that was a big update.
You'd get that anyway, even if you weren't on iOS 7, so blah, blah, blah. What I'm saying is, for me, yeah, I mean, for them, it must feel like a massive thing to put this new color scheme out there and new design. I mean, one thing that worries me is that some of the Chrome that they've removed is starting to make things harder and harder to know what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's a dangerous direction to go, because Microsoft have gone too far in that direction, and you can't use their product because it's not... There's nothing, you know, when there's a button to press on a screen, you should probably make it look like a button to know that you should press it. At the moment, the way the direction they're going is, it's less and less and less of that.
No, agreed. And when I was praising Evernote there, one of the things I wanted to try was they've baked in Sketch editing tools now for PDFs and images. So Sketch is like that, you know, that can draw arrows and colors and all that on an image. That's now baked into Evernote. And I thought, that's actually really nice to have that just there. And I fired up, I took a picture, put it in Evernote, fired it up, and there was no way of getting out. I was like, I'm stuck. And what it was the black menu had disappeared, because the black menu was the same as the black background. All they've got is text over the picture and you couldn't see it. So only by zooming in far enough, the image then overlaid the menu, and I was like, oh. And I know that's just a kind of a very rushed release probably, and they'll pick that up, but...
Yes. And I found in the settings, I found a couple of pages that just looked horrible and clunky, just on the iPad anyway. Maybe they look better on
And iOS and iPad, I'm really disappointed with folders. So you can have as many apps as you like in a folder, but it's like you've got this massive folder with only 9 icons in it. It does feel very Tonka Town. And I find a lot of the iPad doesn't, I think the design has definitely focused on the phone and not the iPad.
Yeah, whether, I think so too.
Whether that gets addressed with a 7.1 that comes out to maybe tie up with the iPad releases in October, I don't know. But
yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, I think they need some to put some attention there. Anyway, I mean, yeah, so all for me, it was just a bit meh, whatever. I mean, I get the alerts that you have on your home screen now of your iPad are nice when you first turn it on. But it's not unexpected, to be honest, you know?
No. And the Safari icon. Jeez.
Yeah, I agree some of the icons are shocking. Never mind.
Newsstand.
Yeah, it's crap.
I'll shop.
Yeah. UK's entered the global online university race. Now, I think this was probably started by, is it MIT that put a whole ton of of their courses online for everyone to access. So all their lecture notes, all the lecture videos, course materials and stuff like that, they put up there. And
I think Stanford as well.
Sure there were two, two or three. But other people are following suit, and we're jumping on board as well. We've called ours FutureLearn.
MOOC. That's all, the only reason I've added this story is I just wanted to say MOOC, which I've never heard of before, but massive. Open online courses, MOOCs.
Massive open online courses. And basically, all the course materials available, lectures are available. You can, it's like a good idea. Why does education have to cost you?
And some of the courses are excellent. A couple of the guys I work with are doing a really, it's like a startup course they're doing. And it's a really quite intensive 10-week course that takes you through, basically launching a startup online. So you're supposed to have your own idea. And it was all, let's use GitHub, let's use, Amazon Web Services, and let's use Bitcoin to power the kind of financial payments on it. And the stuff you learned over the 10 weeks, but some of the time you needed, it was like the first week was 3 hours, but they said some of the weeks you need up to 20 hours to do this course.
A lot to push in.
It's a lot if you're working, but that was free, and you got a certificate at the end. And it was like, that's really impressive. What's available now is really good.
Who knows? Maybe people who actually want to be educated will go through the education system then.
Maybe. And so FutureLearn, they've stuck up 20 short courses, 8 starting this year. And this is like their kind of first dip, toe in the water. And this is an amalgamation. I think there's 20 universities across Britain are involved.
Yeah, it sounds like an incredibly good idea to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like the future. Apple's, they started letting you install the latest or the last compatible version of applications for your device. When you've made something for iOS 7 or future versions, and you can, if you've only got a slightly older version, you can still install the older app that used to be in the App Store. Sounds like a good idea.
Yes. Part of me feels I had to do this because there's lots of apps that went iOS 7 only with their next version. So the developers have been actually quite aggressive just because of previous updates, to 5 and 6. The install rates have been really good. And I think as of last night, there was some developers saying 40% of their user base are already on 7, considering it only came out in Wednesday and melted internet, it's pretty good going.
I downloaded it on Thursday or Friday morning, so maybe it was this morning. I can't remember when I did it, but it was much better then anyway. I didn't have any problems.
So I know lots of people that were texting me saying, how can I make this go quicker? And it's like, do it tomorrow.
Just wait a day.
I came. I got my iPhone swapped yesterday. Came home, 3 minutes to download it. Whereas if I tried it the day before, it would have been hours.
Yeah. My biggest thought of this was this is important for their 64-bit architecture coming. So.
Oh, that's a good point as well. It enables
them to have 64 and 32-bit versions, which will work on their phones.
You're right.
Google fighting back on Office front. So Apple are giving away their Office suite with new devices. I can't remember what the system is. Yeah, new devices. And Google have said right, okay, QuickOffice is free then. And QuickOffice is their online, basically Microsoft Office editing software.
It's bizarre. Make yourself own Office. They own all the Office formats. Everybody said to them, get your software onto other devices because Surface isn't selling. And Google have just done it. They've said, there's QuickOffice, it's free. If you install it on Android or iOS and use it before September 26th, we'll give you 10 gig of free storage and drive for a couple of years to kind of get you on the platform. And it's just bizarre that to edit Word and Excel, you're relying on Google now.
Yep, and there you go. And I've not used it myself, but apparently it does an all right job in a mobile environment.
Yeah, I slapped it on yesterday. It's actually very usable. If you needed to do a document, it's ideal. And interestingly, Bammer today did a couple of interviews to analysts. I guess this is kind of some of his parting shots. And he's admitted that, yes, we really do need to get Office on the iPad. It was actually the
hooray.
Some of the stuff he admitted. Our market share is very small, and we've moved it to very small in the phone market. We made a mistake. We missed phones. It's one of my biggest regrets. It was my fault. And we focused on Vista, and we should have split some of the engineering talent onto phones, and I missed it. It was actually like, it was almost like, I'm leaving now. I can be a bit more honest rather than I have to top the company up.
Yeah, well, yeah, but It's a bit all horses bolted. So there we go. Doesn't make any difference now. Google have also bought Bump. So Bump's the file sharing where you push two devices together to chuck files across, basically. Google have bought it. So wonder where they're thinking of. Maybe with their Google glasses, it for headbutters.
I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting some crazy, like, you know, Bump game. But no, you're right. Maybe it's when you embrace. Maybe they're going to get people to get together.
Call the Glasgow file share.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Oh, I've amused myself. Okay, here we go again then. So some shootings happened. Someone's died. The guy played computer games, and therefore it must be all to do with the computer games that this guy killed a lot of people.
So well done, Daily Mirror, who the front page was driven to kill by Call of Duty ? With a picture of Call of Duty Ghosts, which is coming out in a month's time, basically saying it was all linked to computer games. But then if you search a website, which I did do, it's amazing how much traffic and how many, because if you look at the number of comments in the articles, and a lot of the traffic is to, oh, new Call of Duty video came out today. We had the first exclusive video. And it's just, I just can't be arsed with this. It's just, yet again, it's like, and fair enough, maybe this is one guy that's had problems. But that does not mean computer games drove him to it.
No, you know, I mean, well,
I know loads of people that do crazy things that don't play computer games. I know loads of people that play computer games and are just Mr. Joe Average.
It's just the media. I mean, I'd say that's what the media hook onto. And it's the same with when Grand Theft Auto comes out. So we've just had the release of that. Straight away, you got Radio 4 in the morning and they have people on saying, isn't this shocking, this new game that's been released? And they give some headlines. They don't tell you. I mean, they've never used the game. They've never played the game. They don't know what it's all about. They just hear the headlines and think, oh, that must be bad.
And it must be bad. And also, I mean, the next story the next story is all about Grand Theft Auto and 5 buyer is stabbed and robbed of game in early hours. There's lots of people get stabbed and robbed of money, you know, in early hours every day.
Yeah, and it's not like they knew he'd got Grand Theft Auto on him. They just happened to take that as part of...
And the bit that gets me as well, I mean, especially something like Radio 4, if you look at all the kind of dramas and you know, all the kind of police dramas this year, it's all been about kids dying. You know, and people being in normal small villages and kind of murdering kids. It's like fantastic.
Yeah.
Great drama.
Anyway, so yeah, Grand Theft Auto is out and they released an app called iFruit as well as an online manual. And iFruit is basically, they're playing with it a bit. They've got a Tamagotchi type thing for your dog.
Chop the dog.
So Chop the Dog exists in the actual game of GTA 5. And he also exists as this pet that you can take care and look after and happens to poop everywhere. And apparently he will directly affect your in-game version of the dog if you look after him and treat him well. He'll be more obedient in the game. So there you go. But there's also an in-car custom, as a car customizer, which again has a direct effect on the game.
It does. And if you do it the first time you go in, and use it, you should actually just max out the car as much as you can, because right at the end of it,
yes,
it says you get all this is free. So you get like a ooh. And it was nice enough. It was 440 meg. It's some size for what was a fairly...
There's a few other bits and bobs in there, but I haven't really looked at the other bits and bobs. I've got I couldn't get Cheesy as my number plate. It'd already gone.
I got Streeper.
And this was ahead of the game launch as well.
Well, nobody's going to grab Streeper unless they've been a nasty person. Yeah. Like Bernie Licks probably got it. and I guess the interesting thing is the manual came out on iOS and Android. And we should say iFruit is coming to Android. It's not out right now. So
they had all sorts of problems on the iPad as well. Well, on the iOS version anyway. You couldn't log in. You couldn't get anywhere. You couldn't do anything. So they had server problems. It's not just EA that managed that.
No, they had server problems, and I guess it kind of leads into the next story that you know, it was 800 million in one day, and after 3 days, it's sold a billion. It's phenomenal how much they've sold.
That's dollar value rather than unit numbers. But yeah, it's a phenomenon, and it, as an entertainment, you know, games have just are amazing. It's a good game, though. I don't know how much you've played it. I've played it maybe a couple of nights. I've met all the three main characters now.
No, I've not. I had a bit of a disaster. And the Amazon sent me a mail last Saturday saying it shipped. And I thought, oh, Monday. And I was in Bristol on Tuesday. It didn't come through on Monday. And I basically got home at like 10 to 10 and I was like, oh, I need to go to bed. Wednesday, no chance. And I actually put it last night to the podcast. I had to get it popping somewhere.
I may have forgotten about the podcast again. Sorry, listeners.
Yeah. Well, the best bit was, listeners, is that I thought, oh, he's coming. And, oh, I'll go and try GTA.
There he is. I was merely doing my research for the podcast.
So my first impressions were, oh, this is going to sound terrible. Actually, slightly disappointing because it was like, oh, this is just the same. And then it was like, blooming heck, this world is really rich in detail. There's actually loads going on. And just it's just the finesse on it, the kind of polish on it is just like that much more.
You know what? I think when I first popped it in, I was exactly the same as you. You know, I just started driving around and I thought, this feels just like GTA 4.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'm not sure about this. But the pace and the way that the story is intertwined and plays such a major part in the game now, compared to number 4, which was pretty good at that, is the pace that I've come across it is amazing. As in, it keeps up its pace. It doesn't let you go. You don't feel like you don't really know, shall I just go for this long drive for the heck of it? You know, you're never really given that opportunity yet. Because it's taking you to all these different places and letting you do different things straight away. So give it another evening and I think you'll see how amazing this intertwined stories are. And say, I've done my first heist now as well, and very, very clever.
I think I can see how that's happened already, because I've played it for about an hour and a half. And I know if I go back to the previous GTAs, I'd maybe do the first mission and then I'd go and tour around and it would let me. And you'd be like, right, what do I do now? Do I go and see this guy or do I go and do that? And it was all about like...
I be asked to drive that far? But yeah. This really drags you and kicking
but
and screaming.
Last night, it was like, you know, mission, and they're all small ones. And I must admit, I did chuckle at Chop the first time that Chop was involved. And although it was a bit tedious, it was like, it did make me lol.
No, I'd say, and I'm maybe it's just the way I've gone through it, or maybe I've just gone to the right place at the right time. But it drags you forward rather than, I think in 4 it forced you to wait for certain times to, you know, this is only happening at 4 or between 4 and 6 in the morning or something like that. Yeah. Whereas this time, if you arrive at a location and it's not the right time, it fast forwards to that particular point. And like I say, whether it's just I've landed at the right places at the right time, I don't know. But it's been, you know, I've had some good memories already, and I'm not very far into it really,
which is good. And certainly, I mean, I certainly enjoyed it more after that. It was just the first kind of 5-10 minutes I was like, oh
yeah, no, I was exactly the same, but quickly laid to rest, and I'm enjoying the story as well.
And I've been quite impressed with the, you know, the characters, the voice acting and all that. It's been really good.
Yeah, I almost think that their first character, which is sort of the Wire version, I guess, of you know, because this is HBO times 3. This is there's the Wire, there's the Sopranos, and I think there's a bit of, you know, Breaking Bad and stuff like that going on as well. So, yeah, it's clever. I mean, it's a bit morally twisted, as in they cross their wires all over the place and stuff like that. But that's part of it. I think it's just showing how, you know, screwed up our world is really. And it's equally as funny. And the radio, it still gets me that you can sit and watch TV shows and watch the radio, listen to the radio.
No, absolutely.
And it's always interesting. And now it's always reacting to the storyline as well, which is clever.
Yep. And okay. I guess the thing is like, there's all that. And then in a week and a half's time, you get a kind of online version, which is like, it is pretty mind-blowing what you get for your money.
Yeah, no. And they've clearly made a lot of money out of it as well. There you go. That's the end of our podcast. Got any picks for us? I've not.
There's actually a few apps I've been playing with, and I'm not ready yet.
Not ready yet, okay.
Because there's a few that I'm like, oh, that's
Ian,
really
if,
nice.
Ian, if you're not ready, you know, we can wait, it's fine.
Oh, okay, Chris.
So we'll just, you know, look forward to the time we can look at your apps.
I actually did get complimented.
Did you?
In the Apple store. Uh-huh. So the kind of woman who was attending to me, which sounds wrong, was like, that's the most organized I've ever seen. And it was like, oh my God, how many folders have you got?
Yeah, that's the most organized I've seen. That's the most apps I've ever seen in my life.
It was the way she said it. It was like, that is really the most organized. And then the next week, the next one, it was like, oh my God, and she was just going through them all.
It goes on and on and on. How long does it take you to reinstall your phone? Like all week. If you want to find out more about what we do, you can do digitaloutbox.com. Email us info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as GZUK. And I have a blog at academyracer.co.uk should you want to see what my racing's up to. Ian, yourself.
My blog is iand.net. I am on Twitter as Super. And 4 weeks from now, I will be sitting in a hotel next to Silverstone.
Yay! Is it 4 weeks or is it longer?
It's 4 weeks.
It is. Yeah, it's 4 weeks.
It's four weeks because I got a jury duty call through for the High Court for the 17th starting of October. Ooh, and I was like, oh.
I can't do it. How do you get out of that?
I sent him a booking from EasyJet and said, please let me off. And I got a letter through saying, you are excused.
Excellent.
So thanks, Chris.
That's all right. Good stuff. 4 weeks. How am I going to deal with it until then? Crikey. Speak to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Mind you, I'll be flat broke by then. I've got to get my gearbox fixed.
What, on your theorem? What is broke?
It's crunchy.
Oh.
So that's going to cost a fortune. And then
is that
I've booked in it for the upgrade for next year. So that's
going to
cost a fortune.
Is that because of the little instant, or is that just...
No, it started fine. It's all a sore tale of woe and money. So now I've got to spend it. And then I've got to upgrade my car, which it costs another fortune. And I don't have enough money. If anyone wants to sponsor me.
this is like a kind of rich man's plea. Yeah, it's like some people don't have rent and can't afford to buy a loaf of bread. and yet... you're taught about you're penniless because you're funding your racing driver ambitions.
Yeah, you're right. I should shut up.
Yeah,
so I will.
Especially as you bought an Xbox last week.
Well, I didn't mean to. Bloody hell, that's another thing. Exactly. These are all.
Yeah, I've told so many people that story, and they're all like, "What an idiot!"
Well, I couldn't. Otherwise, I was going to have to spend another £50 on a game that I could have got. You know, what's the point of spending another £50?
Bernie Lick was like, troll.
Well, what else could I do? I was stuffed. Bastards.